Engel, Oladamare, Jenyami, Olaroon, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amun-Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our requests will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgeries, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today, to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you, and we honor you, and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listenings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work, and we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We said libation, libation, libation. It is good.
That people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Take your knee and privilege off my neck. Time for this entitlement and injustice to get checked. A reality TV star. Nobody wants a war. All hands on deck. Take your knee off my neck. See, nothing was perfect, but we have been a nation at peace. Look at all the hate this administration has unleashed. 200,000 deaths worldwide. We could have been warned, but he lied and lied. All hands on deck. Take your knee off my neck. Everybody knows what goes around comes around. How would you feel if someone you love was taken there?
Okay. Why are you a sister of Illinois?
America, Rosa did sit on that bus. Please don't let them divide us. Together at the table should be next. Everyone has to get on deck. But in the meantime, keep your neck.
Get that out when you don't have the rhythm to figure it out. So now how are you going to reform a cop? You white. You the prosecutor. You got to get elected. Huh? That county you live in, ain't no black folks in that county. So here's a white cop shoot 12 black folks dead. You think you going to prosecute them? With them ignorant white folks that got to vote for you every 4 years and you buying a house, will send your children to college, you got to pay insurance. You can't change that till you understand that and change that. How many black folks go to jobs? That's dangerous, but they can't stop. They can't stop. They got to keep going. Now, how do you make a cop change? Simple. You pass legislation. And say every cop have to be insured. So we'll take out policy. Everybody carry a gun have to be insured. The first time you violate that, you lose your license. If you're a cab driver, you can't drive your cab. You ain't got no license. Now, do you hate niggas more than you like feeding your family? Then your behavior changes. Make you like me. Make you have to be careful about the people you do like. And every cop, their children should go to school for free. But you got to give them something that they can't afford to lose. It's that simple. You drive down the street, you get 5 moving tickets, you lose your license. That's what makes you stop at that stop sign.
But they don't, the system doesn't want to punish cops.
I didn't say that. I didn't ask you the question. I didn't say, did they?
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep and greetings, my brothers and sisters. Welcome this afternoon to the Black Reality Think Tank. This is our weekend edition. with our co-hosts, Ms. Leola Williams and Ms. LaWanda Chambers. Get your knee off of my neck. Amen. So today we are going to have a dynamic program. We're going to talk about many of the ramifications of all of this that we have seen over the last week and the things that we are still continuing to go through. We're going to have a wonderful dialogue led by our two wonderful co-hosts. We appreciate them so much. And they are going to be discussing it with you. This is a call-in format. You can call us, those of you who are listening on the internet, you can call us at area code 215-490-9832. I repeat, 215-490-9832. You can call us and we will see and answer you. The first part of our session, basically Moses' discussion with our hosts. And they're going to be describing the concept of our program and the thesis of what we want to achieve. So, again, thank you for joining us. This is the Time for an Awakening.com network, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. And as I said, we are here every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5. This is our weekend edition. We have other programs that are broadcasting under the Black Reality Think Tank banner. We are so happy to welcome some new programs to our family. Immediately following this program at 6 o'clock is another dynamic discussion that we're going to have. It's called Seeing Our Ancestors. Seeing the world through the eyes of our ancestors. And we have a wonderful young man that's going to come on who is a developmental psychologist, and he's going to talk a little bit about some of those and the ramifications of that as it relates to our life here in North America. So, again, this is the Black Reality Think Tank family. And then on Thursday evening, we are going to present a group of young women, millennials, who are going to come on and talk about children, families, husbands, boyfriends, and all of those kinds of things that impact us. These are very important issues. They obviously have a lot to do with our success and our sojourn here in this place. And so very clearly they're going to come on Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock in the evening. As far as we know right now, that's all Central Time. And they're going to be discussing many of those issues. So we thank you all for your support and ask you to continue to support us, support those programs. And as you know, on Tuesday is our is the one that began it all, the Black Reality Think Tank discussion group that comes on. We deal with politics, economics, social issues, cultural issues. That program airs every Tuesday afternoon from 7 to 9 Central Time. That's still the Black Reality Think Tank. So the Black Reality Think Tank family has grown, and it has grown thanks to you, our supporters, and we also appreciate those brothers that are out in Philadelphia who control this network, this radio network called Time for an Awakening, a part of the Black Talk Radio Network as well. So we thank them for what they do and what they've done. We also thank the Sankofa Historical Society because they are the sponsors of three of our programs, and then the program on Tuesday is sponsored by Motherland Media, which is a part of an organization that also has a program called African Perspectives, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So anyway, I wanted to thank you this afternoon. We're going to get right into the talk. I'm not going to prolong this commentary anymore. I want you to get right into our discussion and meet with us. So at this point, I am going to open up the mic to our two co-hosts, who are patiently awaiting Ms. Leola Williams and Ms. LaWanda Chambers. Good afternoon, ladies. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers and audience. I am doing great.
Thank you.
In 96-degree weather in Kansas City, Missouri. But
oh, I love
couldn't
it.
Miss the show with I my coworker.
It. I love it. Are you out there? Are you near that baseball museum, the Negro History Baseball Museum?
No, I'm not near there.
Okay, okay, all right.
I'm staying next to the sports complex.
Oh, I see. So, okay, for the Kansas City Chiefs.
My mom
lives
in the inner city.
Okay,
so.
All right. Well, fantastic. What are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about get your foot off our damn necks. So I'm going to let Miss LaWanda go into that, and then I'll pick up on the rest. But she wanted to talk about that. Evidently, she feels some pressure, and we're seeing a whole lot of incidents behind the pressure that we're up under at this point in time. So I'm going to let her take the lead in this, and I will pick it up after she does the introduction.
Well, what I'll say, Dr. Rogers, to that is, hello, Dr. Rogers, and welcome to all our viewers.
Thank you.
This is a very, very hot stress topic, right? And so before we even get into the details on what we'll be discussing today, I think it'll be good for us to do the ancestral profile. And then once we do that, we'll go ahead right into the discussion. I'll go ahead and open the lines up and set the tone. And so after that happens, everyone will be able to kind of chime in and say what it is they have to say. I want to remind you all that this is a community healing platform. And so we want to hear from you, because not only is America on our damn neck as co-hosts, I'm sure you guys have a lot of experiences with this too. And so I want this to be a healing process for us all, because as you can see, there's several things that continue to happen around us in the world and our communities. And I don't know about you all, but I don't think we've had much time to process. And so this is the opportunity to process and align and organize and think of other ways to move forward. So without further ado, Ms. Williams, would it be all right if Ms. Kaysler could read the ancestral profile on Malcolm X?
Yes, ma'am. She's ready to go.
Wonderful.
Born in Omaha, Nebraska, Malcolm X spent his teenage years living in a series of foster homes after his father's death and his mother's hospitalization. He engaged in several illicit activities there, eventually being sentenced to 10 years in prison in 1946 for larceny and breaking and entering. In prison, he joined the Nation of Islam, adopted the name Malcolm X, and quickly became one of the organization's most influential speakers after being paroled in 1952. Malcolm X then served as the public face of the organization for a dozen years, where he advocated for Black supremacy, Black empowerment, and the separation of Black and white Americans, and publicly criticized the mainstream civil rights movement for its emphasis on nonviolence and racial integration. Malcolm X also expressed his pride in some of the nation's social welfare achievements, namely its free drug rehab program. Throughout his life, beginning in the 1950s, Malcolm X endured surveillance from the FBI for the nation's supposed links to communism. In the 1960s, Malcolm X began to grow disillusioned with the Nation of Islam as well as with its leader, Elijah Muhammad. He subsequently embraced Sunni Islam in the civil rights movement after completing the Haji to Mecca and became known as El Haji Malik Shabazz. After a brief period of travel across Africa, he publicly reannounced the Nation of Islam and founded the Islamic Muslim Mosque Incorporation and the Pan-Africa Organization of Afro-American Unity. Throughout 1964, his conflict with the Nation of Islam intensified and he was repeatedly sent death threats. On February 21st, 1965, he was assassinated. Three Nation members were charged with the murder and given indeterminate life sentences. Speculation about the assassination and whether it was conceived or aided by leading or additional members of the Nation or with law enforcement agencies have persisted for decades after the shooting.
Okay, that's just a part of what Malcolm X did. But I wanted to read one of the quotes on freedom that he presented. I thought this would be an appropriate time to bring this into play. And one of his quotes says, "When a person places the proper value on freedom, there is nothing under the sun that he will not do to acquire that freedom. Whenever you hear a man saying he wants freedom, but in the next breath, he is going to tell you what he won't do to get it, or what he doesn't believe in doing in order to get it. He doesn't believe in freedom. A man who believes in freedom will do anything under the sun to acquire or preserve his freedom. You don't have to be a man to fight for freedom. All you have to do is to be intelligent, be an intelligent human being. I believe that there will ultimately be a clash between the oppressed and those that do the oppressing. I believe that there will be a clash between those who want freedom, justice, and equality for everyone, and those who want to continue the systems of exploitation. You can't separate peace from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has freedom. If you're not ready to die for it, put the word freedom out of your vocabulary, quote unquote. And that is one of the quotes from Malcolm X. Thank you, guys.
Very powerful quote, Leola. And thank you, Ms. Kayla, for reading Malcolm X as the ancestral profile. I think that's a strong brother that should be celebrated. You know, he has lifted us to this moment and given us all this great information. And what I say to folks is, now it's time to take action. Today we'll be discussing getting your damn knee off our necks. When justice is denied, poverty is enforced, ignorance prevails, and there are attempts to rob and destroy hope in America. Today, we're going to be adding to our discussion from last week, focusing on how this applies to you, as well as strategies that can be discussed in a webinar format to organize and take action. If you're interested in participating in this, please email forward@lift-ife.com. And so with that being said, I am going to open up the phone lines so that everybody can have an opportunity to chime in and speak their minds, because this is what this platform is for.
Ms. Chambers,
and so I say,
Ms. Chambers, yes? Could you say that web, could you give that email address again, just and do it just a little bit slower?
Oh, sure. No problem. Again, everybody, that email address is forward@lift-ife.com. forward@lift-ife.com. And so I'm very interested to see who's interested in this organization, is strategic planning. That's what they call it, strategic planning. And so that's where we're going to do that in a different format. You will receive personal invites for that once you sign up and identify yourself. The goal in doing so is to reach others, right? We, as activists and folks who want to see a change, it's very important that we talk and discuss exactly what each individual needs to be doing to move towards that mission. Another thing I want to mention is earlier on in the, at the beginning of the program, I don't know if you know who that gentleman was, but that's the late Dick Gregory. Rest in power, brother. This man has a lot of knowledge, right? And so he came and presented a strategy. And that strategy is not one that I'm unfamiliar with. It's called liability insurance. And as a counselor, that's something that I'm supposed to have. And so he stated that if the officers were to have insurance for carrying a gun, then that would force the hand. And so if you don't have anything in particular you want to discuss, let's go ahead and talk about what we think about that course of action and how that would help, hinder, or is not even the topic of discussion at all. You know, what are we going to do? Because it's no denying that we're dying daily, not only by the hands of white folks, but by the hands of our own folks. And so let's get into it, because accountability has to be taken. I'm not here just to point the finger. I'm here to say I'm guilty of some stuff too. I need to change it. And so the first thing to making a better tomorrow is recognizing your errors today, setting a plan forth, and then being consistent with it. And so I thank my viewers for joining this panel discussion. I'm not going to call on anyone in particular, or maybe I will. I want to just reach out and maybe say to 414-759 how you're feeling and what you think about the discussion today. 414-759.
Well, let me chime in here for a minute, LaWanda. This is Ms. Williams. Again, this is time for an awakening. The Black Reality Think Tank. It is time for us to start thinking about the things that has already come to pass and how to put them into play today. We need an overall overhaul of our whole system when it comes to African Americans, when it comes to those that are mixed with African Americans, because not only does this affect African Americans solely alone, but we have to look out for the babies who are African American descent that is a shade darker than the Caucasian. So we cannot leave those people out. But the reality is that all people to some degree, if they do not fall into a certain bracket or a certain class, they get mistreated. We need to come up with information or some strategies on how to deal with that. Because every white person is not rich either. They suffer maybe not as much, but because they have brown kids, they will suffer just as much. So the discussion is about what's going on in our community today and what changes that we can bring about. This should be a think tank. It should be open up, and we just need to think. Because for a man to settle for less than what he deserves and fall for anything that he has not researched out for himself will continue to land on his feet. So that's what we're putting today. What can we do as a people, as a nation, as individuals?
So I'm gonna call on over to 414-801 and just ask you to kind of chime in and speak from your experience and what you feel needs to happen at this point. We've talked a lot about creating. See, the first thing is to understand what the strategy is, right? Okay, so once the strategy is agreed upon, it is upon me to go ahead and go to that webinar series and let's figure out what that petition needs to look like, because it needs to be very detailed, because what we're trying to do is create a law, right? We and what I want you to know is you very well are the greatest critical thinkers to create any laws that they are going to use against you. Right. Because these people are not going to have to follow that law, because they're going to write it in such a way where you are the one that's going to be penalized for it. And number two, you ain't going to even know you're going to be penalized for it because you ain't going to know about it. And number three, you ain't learning about laws at school or any policies or how to change those things. And so today we're going to work together to understand how to affect policy. Right. And so you have the power right now because you are the people. And what I'm really trying to get you to understand from the community lens, folks is making laws and rules every day, meeting and having think tanks and strategic planning on how they're going to make money off of you. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And so it is time to say power. Dr. Rogers, if you can explain to the people what power is, you know, it's time for us to get that power back and recognize that you are power, moving, breathing, spending every dollar of power. You got some power. And now I'm saying, what's your problems? I'm an action taker. I'm going to sit down with some other folks. We're going to get the law folks. We're going to get the politicians. We're going to reach the folks that need to be reached, you know, so we can affect change.
Okay.
Well, so 801, what you got? What you say, Dr. Rogers?
Oh no, I thought you wanted me to respond. But go ahead. Go right ahead.
Go ahead. Well, tell the folks what the power is. Explain to the viewers what power is first.
We talked about a couple of weeks ago, we said that power is the ability to create your own reality, and to get others to use it and define it as though it's their own. When you can do that, you got power. And you can control, and you can do anything you want you to do. once you are able to create a reality of your own from your own perspective, get other people to buy into it, and then accept it as their own. That's power.
You hear that? You hear that? What y'all think that's what y'all think power is when we got folks marching, and it's the second week. We got folks right now in our city marching. They got some power, but yet they ain't really moving. And I'm not speaking for them all because I know they all out there doing what they know to do. And so now we're trying to direct them and give them some guidance, right? So we're creating our own reality right now, saying what it is we want to see happen. Next, we shall be taking action and moving forward, getting the right folks involved. 414-801, can you please chime in and let me know what you think about the discussion so far and what strategies you can suggest?
They are still recommended as a good practice for family child care programs as well. Evacuation drills must be performed
during. Yes.
Hello. All right. Well, one of the things I want to say, it takes a village. For Dufo, who wrote his book, it takes a village, and we got to pull the village back together. But next part of it, while we got to do that, the other part is it deals with our social society that we live in. Policemen are human, and we're human. And when I talk about human, I'm talking about they do the same things that our drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, they do all the same things they arrest people for. They need to fall under the same scrutiny. The laws that are made should also apply to them. And this is something, when they're marching, and this is a piece that needs to go because I think it's 72 hours before they don't have to report. And that gives them time to get the alcohol. We know that when people drink, they become somebody else. Whatever hatred is in their heart, because you can't get hatred out of people's heart. But when people get drunk and stuff, they become somebody that you don't really know. And then the next day they'll say, did I do that? Yes, you did.
Yes.
Okay? So they're subject to the same thing. They are not machines. So the law needs to come about that if an officer is caught in something, he needs to report right there. Two, he needs a drug test. He needs alcohol. He needs to blow right there on the street like they do our people. Then, party to a crime. Well, I've worked in the criminal justice system, and I've had several of my kids get life. The group, all of them, six boys, don't know who pulled the trigger. And the prints were on both, but when they finished, they all got the same outcome. And it was called a party to a crime. Officers should be made to the same thing because they're human. They have a conscience, they have pain, and they have fears. And when people are fearful of someone, they will do these things. It's a lot of issues that need to be covered, and we cannot cover them all at one time. Everybody has a pet peeve that they may have a solution to, but they're going to have to gather and strategic planning what's going to go first, because you still got to live, you got to make money. And if you don't have money, there's a lot of things you cannot do. So we as African American, a lot of us is already behind the eight ball because, hey, we can't offer jobs, we can't do any of this stuff. And I would say on my mind too is about this crazy looting that's going on. Okay, last week hamburger meat wasn't that expensive. This week a little patty was costing me $10 when I got through cooking it. The kids don't recognize what they're doing and talk about, well, they got insurance, it goes up and we catch it. They need to understand the economic system. So our community got a lot of work to do, and I don't know where it starts, but the one thing that could start is making the law of this land and every land around here to that fact that police officers are under the same scrutiny as law that the people they arrest are under. Okay, thank you.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Ms. Bennett. Thank you so much. Let's go on to another caller. And let me let you guys know this. You don't have to wait for me to call your number out because everybody's phone line is open. And so if you want something, if you got something to piggyback off of or you want to chime in, go ahead and do that because I got everybody unmuted.
The program is using a vehicle purchase after 2008 that is the type of vehicle.
But what I will say is, if I do unmute you, you got to cut your TVs off and your radios and stuff like that, because I'm getting that feedback. I want to take the call from 419-346.
Hello. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is Rodney Lincoln. Is it okay if I jump in, or you want to go ahead with the call?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to just really go off of what I heard. Thank you for sharing that, sister. I really believe that the financial parts of the financial literacy that needs to happen for our community, when she's talking about the power of money, it's a real thing. It opens up doors, it opens up our opportunities, and I feel like one thing that our society, or even growing up, we become really big consumers, and we need to push ourselves to be thinking more about how we invest in ourselves, in our communities, and in our family, and teaching the habit of delayed gratification in order to save for something more. So I think one actionable thing that we're doing now is trying to pilot some things around how to look at stocks and stock investments and understanding like the long game and paying the next generations and saving for them. I think that's one thing that I've seen, and I didn't get to introduce myself, but I've been an educator for the last 10 plus years. And one thing I've seen, it's been mainly high school, but the one thing I've seen is a lot of people are, you know, the whole YOLO movement, you know, you only live once, and everybody doesn't operate like that. All the other bodies don't operate like that. Other communities at time, we have to think more about how we are trying to instill living for the community and investing for the community. When I think about when I'm gone and my generations after me, I'm trying to make everything for the generation that come before me. And that's why I stay in education. So I just think that should be one avenue. I don't think that's the only avenue, but I think we have to think more about that, because when people have the belief that they can win at this game, they can win at, and I'm not saying capitalism good or anything like that, I'm just saying this is a society we live in, they have to be able to, you know, provide livelihood for themselves. And I think we need to teach our community to do those things, but also and teach them how to invest and save more than just consuming. Instead of buying the Jordans, go buy Nike stocks, right? That's how I look at it. And that's just something from my thing. And it just, I was moved when she said that, and it resonated with me. So I just wanted to share that piece. But if you're looking for other ways of doing that, I have started like investment clubs, and we're doing a pilot starting next week with some high school students. Some of them are on this call right now, but we're doing a pilot of playing the stock market game to teach them those habits and how like the market works, because everybody else say that we're in like a recession, but the market is actually doing really, really well right now. And people are actually making a lot of money off the market right now, because the market is all about behavior and futures. And these are opportunities, if we pulled money together, that we can reap the dividends and the profits from on some of these stocks. So I'm sorry for that long-winded explanation, but I think that's something that we can do, or one avenue that we can attack.
No, first of all, thank you for your contribution. And it's not long-winded, especially when some of these ideas are very new to folks. They're going to require those details. And another thing, I got to agree with you on the stock market. Things are looking really good. And as a first-time investor, and just putting some money in it to see, you know, how it works. So one resource I would suggest to anybody that's out there interested in getting into any stocks is to check out the application Robinhood, because they have lots of good information while you're in the process of making a decision on if you want to buy or not. And so that's a really good resource. I checked the Robinhood out. I also encourage you guys to check out Brother Roland Martin if you're interested in getting some of those marijuana stocks, because that's also a really good investment right now. This is how we take back the power, you guys. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to get the pressure off of our necks, okay? Because we have been oppressed for a long time. I'm going to take another caller. I want to reach up. Go ahead.
People, which things are not being taught in school today, and this is the very thing they rub against. That's why our kids fall for everything, because they ain't got nothing to stand on.
Hello. That's right. No, that's right. You teaching. You know what's up. That's right.
So when we get to a point, you know, as adults, you have to look at what's your spending habits, what's your values, what do you invest the most in? Because your kids sometimes mimic what you do. So if you're buying fashion bags, you're going to the hair store, buying weave and eyelashes and all that stuff. You know, I guess my question is just real with you. What is wrong with being the real you? Why do you need all of these things to change who you are? Because the outer you is just what people say. But the inner you and what you bring forth are the few fruits that you're willing to bear. So your kids is only doing what they see you do. If you want a $200 pair of shoes, so do they. But I teach mine to understand, it's like this. If you work, part of what I pay you out of what I make, you need to in turn save a portion and spend a portion. But all in all, you need to invest in your own self and your own self-worth. Because see, too long we've allowed these people to dictate to us what we can make, how much we can make, and they present things to us to make us buy it or to make you guys buy it, because I don't buy everything that I see and it's not worth it. And you may wear it one or twice, but the bottom line is you're broke the next day. So instead of investing all your money in something that you can't get back, is what Miss Chambers said. You got to start investing something that will give you a residual income. But you complain about the white people making all this money. They getting it from y'all. Instead of creating, then you guys take, when you get tired of it, you go and invest. You go and donate it to somebody else. Well, when you don't donate it to somebody else, they're making too. They're making money off of you as well. Instead of telling your kids, hey, like in Wauwatosa, they said that their kid a bookstore.
What about this?
Now the kid has his own bookstore. So you guys got to get real creative and start using our talents for the better good. Next caller.
Hey, I want to go over to caller 773-815. Would you like to chime in and add to the discussion?
Yes, I surely would. We discussed the problems, why we going through these problems, how can we solve them, and everything like that, and this and that. See, the problem here is a spiritual and a biblical problem. Therefore, it would take a spiritual and biblical solution. We are under curse here from the Most High because the children have disobeyed and didn't follow the commandments of the Most High. So these curses, you know, have, you know, come amongst us. These are curses from the God, from the Most High, because these chosen people just simply refuse to follow the law, statutes, and commandments. Like in Jeremiah chapter 17 for Israel. Israel, God, our people has kindled anger in God's heart. We hard-headed, stiff-necked. So therefore, he will send us, you know, to our enemies. And that's who we are amongst, our enemies. You know, speaks of that. I will be sent amongst our enemies to serve them. If we don't serve him, I give you somebody to serve. And that's what the problem is. We are amongst our enemies, and God is allowing this because the people, his chosen people, refuse not to come back to his commandments. So that's one of the problems. It says here, Psalms Psalms 147, 19 and 20. His people, Israel, he's the only, they are the only nation that he dealt with. He know no other nation but these chosen people, which is his children. Therefore, he chastised us because he dealt with no other nation but this nation. And that's why we're going through all these heartaches and pains, you know. So that's really a serious thing. We're dealing with the Most High. These people ain't following them. In Matthew 15:24, Jesus said he, you know, come only unto the lost sheep of Israel. It's only one people he came to save. So be in a situation that we need to be saved. Nobody else going through this hell like any no like we are. So we are the only ones that need to be saved. And that's what Jesus said. He didn't come to no other nation but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you can go in Deuteronomy, what's that? Deuteronomy 28, from what, 1 through 68. It describes the curses that we'll be under, we'll be going through, and be the only people that fit these curses, the only ones. So in order to get out this situation and just, you know, and get back on track with the Most High, is to follow his commandments, simply that. That's all it takes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You follow God's commandments, he'll protect you from your enemy. Your enemy will become your friends, and you'll be back, you know, on track, be back on where we all fell from. So that's the only, that's what it is. This curse, these are the last days, the last times. You see the signs, you know what I'm saying? So that's why his people need to wake up, you know what I'm saying? Until we stop following dietary laws, things of that nature, start getting back in the scriptures, following his commandments, that's the only way we're going to get back online, on track. It's just follow the Most High, simply that.
Wonderful. And so, I appreciate
so,
you for that.
So just to piggyback off that, so how do you suggest that we get them back in into a spiritual realm, get them to trust those who are teaching and preaching God's words? How do you get them involved? What needs to be done?
Well, how you do that is, you know, study the Bible, study the scriptures. You know when somebody playing games on you or running a game on you when you know your lesson. See, these preachers that we see today, they don't think, doing that, believing us are straight. They're not telling who we are, how to get back to the Most High, why these curses are coming up, you know, upon us. They don't do that, but we, you know, give them our time, money. We, you know, sit back and make sure that they will, you know, manage with finance, jets, houses, you know, cars and all that. You know what I'm saying? That's not spiritually right. Get back into the scriptures. You know, read the Bible, read the book. Know who you are. Know who God's people is. You know who the people is. That's the only way you get back online, because these preachers today are leaving out the sheep astray. You know what I'm saying? These Creflo Dollars, Joe Osteen's, and a few more others I can't even mention right now, T.J. Jakes, all of them are leaving us astray. They're leaving us straight into the fire because they're not telling us who the people are. They think, you know, God is for everybody, which he is to a certain point, but he does have his chosen people that he favors. And, you know, it's like you have a family. Sometimes people have a favorite child at that family, you know what I'm saying? And when that favorite child acts up probably the most or didn't follow the commandments, they get spanked. And that's, well, you know, that's what's happening to us. We get spanked because he chose us. Like I said in the scriptures, he haven't dealt with any other nation but these people. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else knows him like we do. Moses or the Christ, Jeremiah, all those guys were black. They, you know, so-called black men, you know. But they painted the pictures of the priests, you know what I'm saying? They painted over the pictures of the saints, I should say. With this washing of Jesus and Moses, Ten Commandments that we see every Sunday on Easter, all that's been whitewashed. Those people were burnt that color. And that's why we are the only ones that's going through this hell, because this particular people was chosen to be an example, lead other nations to God. You know, we're supposed to have been a priest. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have been a priest of all nations, but we broke that commandments. So therefore, we had to pay the piper. They saying we still do, but when it comes to him and it's all said and done, we're going to deliver it back to him. But right now, we got to follow these prophecies that he put forth to Deuteronomy, Jeremiah. So Psalms and all those scriptures. We got to follow that prophecy because we broke, our forefathers and mothers broke those commandments that God gave us. You know what I'm saying? We was in the wilderness with Moses. Moses delivered us out of Egypt. You know what I'm saying? We had a contract with the Most High to follow his contracts, you know, his law, statutes, and commandments. He delivered us out of the hands of Pharaoh back in the day when Moses did that. And we went into the desert, into the wilderness. He made a covenant with us. And we broke it. Remember that? That's why he said, I'll deliver you know, into the hands of your enemy. I'll send you into a strange land that you know your father never known, a language that you don't say you really don't understand. We are amongst these Gentiles. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they call us Gentiles because we are amongst them. We speak their language, their culture and stuff. So therefore, we sort of, you know, become Gentiles, like African Americans.
Bamboozlement.
Yeah, Muslim, so, and all that. Muslim and all that. That's not our heritage. It's not. That's the Arabs. And Arabs had us in slavery too. You know? So, you know, just of course, you got to, you know, just go back to the scriptures, read the Bible, and Google a good,
For me, what I'm hearing you say is that, hey, this, you got to pick up your Bible. And so I just want to bring the attention back to access, right? A lot of folks don't know how to read. So this is why they're getting the wrong messages, because they ain't able to read that Bible for themselves, right? And then for all my Maat folks on the line who understand Maat, you know, one of the verses is, you got to have faith that your teacher can teach you the truth. You got to have faith that you can learn the truth. And you got to have faith in yourself to use the truth. So if just, I ain't going through all the virtues. I'm just going to stake those three right there, because with that is a cycle, right? And if your teacher can't teach you the truth, but you still looking to the teacher to teach you the truth, you being misguided. And exactly. So your truth ain't really the learned truth. That's a learned lie that you have took on as a truth, right? And so now you're trying to use the truth, but the truth ain't serving you because you're not moving in its purpose, because that's not what the truth is. And so that's what I would say to that. Now, the next thing that I got from that is the breakdown of the family. Again, because now we're talking about folks who ain't even picked up the Bible to read it. Now we're suggesting like, hey, I want you to get into this Bible and read this. And so what I'm getting at here is that there has to be some deprogramming, right? Because that's another thing that America has their damn knee on our neck with religion. And so I would definitely would you like to add to the discussion? Okay, I'm going to take another caller. 414, well, you know what? To be honest, I'm not going to take any more callers right now because we are 2 minutes shy top of the hour, and I don't want you to get to talking, and I'll go ahead and cut you off. But what I would like to say is that this discussion is really off to a wonderful start. I appreciate each and every one of our viewers that is on the lines. And what I'm going to do is just send a quick shout out to A1 T-shirts over there on 50th and Center. If you need any shirts made for your upcoming protests or holidays or family events or graduations, I would encourage you guys to go over there and get any of your shirts made that you need. I also want to shout out the MKE Black app for locating all your Black businesses in the MKE area. Lastly, I want to also make an announcement and let everyone know next week on Tuesday, the Black Reality Think Tank weekend edition will be moved to Tuesday just for the week. You guys can catch us there from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll be discussing white fragility and privilege. Also talking about the things that have occurred with Colin Kaepernick as well. And so I want you to come tune in to us on Tuesday evening next week from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, I thank the viewers for staying on the line, and we're at the top of the hour. We're going to make it do what it do.
can't breathe again. God damn, I can't breathe. Our voices are being quarantined. COVID-19, 60s to 1619. Jamestown choked me, sold me. Shackles hold me tightly by my neck. And I can't breathe again. 2020 ain't no fucking vision on your tail eye vision of why I'm living like a prejudged villain. CNN, Fox News commentating and debating why I can't fucking breathe again. How many times do I have to say this? I'm taking my gloves off because racism is the main deadliness that's contagious. I just got diagnosed and received a degree in criminology, but fuck your education. I don't want to learn shit from a nation that's racist. The definition of policing, overseeing property. I can't understand how the white man never understood how to handle the human properly. Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the noble true Ali spoke constantly, consciously, and cautiously about this ungodly prophecy. You still worried about your prophet, see? Amazon deliveries, handouts, hands up, don't shoot, but now your knees are on my neck stopping me from occupying oxygen that God obviously brought for me, for I am his offspring, his true seed, motherfucker, get off of me, please, I can't breathe, please, somebody call the police on the police, cause I can't breathe again, and everything hurts. Your words, your knees, your nerve, your white wife who had the nerve to say she was frightened by black life while my face is on the fucking curb. I ain't scared of no fucking virus. This mask is for a riot. I can't breathe, and the media telling me to keep quiet, suffocating me into silence. The devil's greatest trick, convincing the world that we were the ones who were violent. Nah, they the ones deficient, insufficient comprehension of their barbaric existence. Y'all worried about this pandemic when our grandparents still trying to recover from when you gave them syphilis. Because in our blood, we scared of the white cells attacking our immunity. The system defective, infected. So who has the disease? You or me? Because I'm at a dis-ease, disadvantage, dismantled disability of your white knees killing me. Been on our neck for centuries. Knees are trees. Either way, you still lynching me. And what did we ever do to you except for build and make America great initially? Fuck again, cause I can't breathe. Potentially you missing me, clearly not listening intentionally. We are a people of peace, but like Pac said, I ain't no killer, but your policies are pushing me further from the legislation, jumping off the education, while your skinheads the damnation and your clandestine rhetoric will forever be evident. Fuck the elite in the top 3%, I'm heaven sent. I was born Asiatic and you made me asthmatic, so fuck your vaccines and masks. You gon' worry about these hands tomorrow, cause you can't sanitize the past. You may have took my last breath, but you'll never colonize my spirit. Standing there watching while I die. I can't breathe. And you still can't hear me.
You will never colonize my spirit.
Hello, my name is Nawanda Chambers, co-host of the Black Reality Think Tank. And I am coming to you with a public service announcement about the COVID-19 blues. Has COVID-19 got you down? Are you unsure of what to do to protect yourself? Stressed out because you do not know how to manage the new challenges that COVID-19 has created? Are you experiencing symptoms? Are you afraid? Do you need help with something else? If you answer yes to any of these questions, contact the crisis line at 1-800-985-5990 or text Talk With Us to 66746. Remember, there is help, and let's stay safe.
Thank you.
did.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I would just like to remind our audience on the internet who are listening via the internet that this is a call-in format. You can do so at area code 215-490-9832. And I repeat, 215-490-9832. The Black Reality Think Tank is sponsored by the Sankofa Historical Society. It is a part of the TimeForAnAwakening.com radio network, which is also in affiliation with BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to the website, our website at www.TimeForAnAwakening.com. And go to the podcast portal and put in the Black Reality Think Tank or any of the other programs like African Perspectives, Time for an Awakening, and listen to any program that has aired in the past, including this one, probably in about another 5 or 6 hours. This will also be on the podcast, and you will be able to hear it again. So we thank all of you, our supporters and our listeners, for your participation. Wonderful dialogue that we have on air going now. I was happy to announce, very happy to announce, that the Black Reality Think Tank family has expanded. This is our weekend edition, every Saturday from 3 to 5. Immediately following this program, from 6 to 8, there is a program called Looking at the World Through the Eyes of Our Ancestors. And that program will be hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins, who is going to talk about these things that we are encountering now in our community and how it will impact, and it does continue to impact us as we go. And then on Tuesday, we have the Black Reality Think Tank that deals with the politics, economics, and culture. But this Tuesday, as Ms. Chambers indicated, the weekend edition will air. And the reason for that is because on the weekend of next week, we will be talking with a young brother out of the U.K. He's a gifted pianist. London Philharmonic. And he is an African-American brother, and he is from Wisconsin. We want to talk to him a little bit and get his input on things. One of the title of that program is To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. And we do like to talk about culture because it's also very important. And so because of their time frame, we'll be interviewing and talking with him next Saturday at 3 o'clock right here at the Time for Awakening. And so the weekend edition is going to air on Tuesdays. That's just for the 1 week. And then on Thursday of next week, Thursday, we have a group of young millennials who are going to come on, young women, and going to talk about family, children, relationships, and all of those things that impact us every day, day to day. And so they'll be coming on at 8 Central Time, and they'll be on also for 2 hours from 8 to 10. So we really appreciate this format. And then, as I said earlier, we're growing, and we want to continue to grow. And we thank all of you for your input. So with that, I'm going to turn the program back over to Ms. Chambers and Ms. Williams. Thank you all so much.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Black Reality Think Tank, time for an Awakening. So I guess it goes back to get your knee off our damn necks. So I'm wondering, what are some of the pressures you're feeling at this point in time, or some of the pressures you've endured over your life during this time? Did the knee get on our neck at the time George Floyd was murdered? Or how long do you think that we've been pressed, or the knee been pressed against our will to do better, to be better, and to have things in our lives. You know, where do you guys stand on all that? Because now that the pressure is off Mr. Floyd's neck in the event of his death, do we go back and allow that same pressure to be applied? Or do we take action and do what we need to do as a people to promote our own growth, our own unity, and just do what we need to do financially to improve our own quality of life? You know, that's what I put on the table. How long do we keep the pressure off? What do we need to do to keep it off? Because like Malcolm X says, nobody can give you freedom. Nobody can give you equality or justice or anything. If you're a man, you will take it. And education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare it for today. So that's where we're at. If you want your freedom, you're no longer in shackles and chains. How do you acquire it and how do you keep it? And we've already talked about money is power, power is money. So if you continue to take the little power that you possess, which is your little dollars or a few dollars that you have, and you take it over and give it to somebody who got more than you, you keep them in power and you continue to suffer.
Didn't do it yet.
Who's the change? So that's the question I pose to you guys. Do you keep the pressure off your neck? What changes are you going to make in order to make sure it doesn't get on your neck again? How do we empower ourselves as a people?
And so I'm gonna reach out to 414-722. Would you care to respond to that?
Yes, I can definitely respond, though. I think that they've been had our knee on our neck since we got off the ship, you know, and we got to be able to rectify and try to figure out how to make sure it don't happen again. I mean, I think we need a balance with everything, though. I do understand that we do got, you know, Christianity, and we got to be religious, and we got to go by the scriptures, but we got to get the faith back to the younger generation, though, because they tired, you know what I'm saying? And I think the method that we've been using to try to get the youth back, we need the support back from the older ones, though, to back us up, though, while we are trying to make changes. And I think that's the big thing, is that as much as we can say that the youth is lost, the youth got a lot of courage, and the youth is fearless, you know, and they're ready for a change. And I think as a whole black people, though, I feel like we all should be in the progress of it, though. And let's try to make sure that we stay organized and not try to get in the way of progress. But it's been happening for years, and I just hope that everybody uses time to educate themselves on the history of this and know that it's been going on and on. This is past George Floyd. This is black injustice for a century, since slavery, since going to plantation on today. And I think it goes back to what LaWanda was saying. We got to admit the family breakdown. We got to admit that we got to look at that literacy in the black community and learn how to comprehend what we are reading, what we are saying. So I think that we're in the right direction, like what I said before, but I just think that this has been going on for a while, and I think now we got to go about it differently, and sometimes a peaceful way ain't going to be the right way. You know, we got to use our education, though, and think smart about it. So that's my outlook on it.
Thank you for that, Chief. I definitely agree with you on that. We do have to get these millennials and this next generation that's coming up, we got to get them back on track. I would say that the breakdown happens when the drugs start coming, right? Anybody else want to care to chime in? I want to reach out to 414-324. Would you care to chime in to the discussion? Okay, how about 419-346? Would you care to add to the discussion?
Hello. Okay.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm sorry about the phone.
No problem.
Yes, I was just saying that everything everybody said was empowering, but I really do think that while the protesting going on, we should have some definition of the protesting or how it's going to impact our community.
Because what's happening, a lot of neighborhoods is doing, what's happening in your neighborhoods right now?
In our areas, they're doing a lot. Well, my personal area, we're not doing any protesting, but they're doing protesting in the street. Like, we had on our main busy street, they laid in the middle of the street and just stopped traffic for like 2 hours. But I would just like the young people to know that they have power, and just the power they have of not being violent, just knowing that them being quiet like that, it was more powerful than the riot, you know? And that was just letting the one to know that it was stopping, you know? It stopped the whole major intersection. And people took notice of that. It was more powerful than the chanting or trying to break something.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I would like to see more of, okay, we are hurt, we all are upset, we all are affected, but we need to protest the financial markets of it. We did shut down some days, but we don't deal with the community and let them know our purpose is desired. Y'all need our money. Y'all need us. And if we stop giving our money to the whole economical basis, they can feel that we have the power.
Exactly, exactly. And they know that. And let me tell you, they know that. How many of y'all check y'all emails and you getting emails from people like Gucci, people like Macy's, all these big retail shops? They send an email talking about how they support the Black Lives Matter movement and saying things of that nature, trying to let us know we not the enemy. Come continue to spend your money with us.
Right.
Is that the message you getting? Because that's the message I'm getting.
Right, and I would like for us to have like a day every once a week, just like we did a couple years ago. Nobody bought nothing that day. The whole nation did. Nobody shop on every Tuesday and last Fridays of the month. That's how the economical impact, they need to feel it. And we need to spend our days and don't, we need to let us know what days we're not going to shop. We're not going to buy nothing from nobody, no McDonald's, no nothing. Shut it down. And they can feel it economically. And rotate the days. And if they don't know what day, oh, we're going to brace for them. They're not going to be here on Friday. But we can impact that. And we'll just be open late on Tuesday. We need to mix it up. Change it up. Maybe Chicago have every third and 13th. Ohio every have 6th and 20th. Something that we can impact them to make them know.
So I agree with that.
Plan implemented with that on that type of basis. And I just want everybody to be safe and aware. You know, all police are not terrible. And every white person is not wrong. But it's just too many of them wearing the same color. We can't decide. It's just like a robbery. If everybody's dressed in the same outfit, we don't know who's robbing the bank.
Exactly. Exactly. I definitely think you're on to something. Some rules for this protesting. Having a plan in mind for why you protesting. What are you asking for? What is the results? And then also that economic piece is very big. Very, very big. We spend a lot of money. We just talked about this a few weeks ago. How much money Black folks is spending. We spent the whole 2 hours on this. They know what we're doing. And so, sister, you're right. Rotation is definitely needed because they are studying us so they can know how to make their next move, their best move. And so that's why I'm letting you know, and everybody that's listening, we have to organize. And so please take down this email address so we can begin to do our own organizing. Folks are organizing right now while listening to this so they can do what they need to do next. And so we have to do the same thing. So again, forward, FORWARD at Lyft, LIFT-IFE.com. We're going to work together. This is a collective. We got to move towards a collective. We got to move away from this individual stuff. Because I can sit here and talk to y'all a day about how America has their damn knee off on my neck when it comes to redlining in the state of Wisconsin. Okay? When it comes to getting a business loan, when you wrote the best business plan and met with everybody you needed to meet with, you can't get that money. Come on now. How is America standing on your neck? What are you tired of? What are you ready to do about?
I'm sorry. I just wanted the young people to know. It's like they're scared of us already because our minds are too broad. We have come across the not education, everything. We are definitely the enemy because I agree somewhat with the guy said that we, I don't know, I'm not really agree, but I think that we are more of a blessed group of people that whatever we touch our hands on, we can make it grow and do. And whatever they're doing to us, they can't hold us down. They try to oppress us so much in so many ways with education and jobs and jails and drugs. And we keep coming up. We keep revolving. If the young people just stand on that and keep revolving with the social media and being positive and keep revolving, they're not. This is going to stop because they're going to lose their power. The people that were the cap had our ancestors in fear. Now that your cap is gone, we're not scared of the cap no more. We're not scared of your badge anymore. So you losing your fear. Once you lost your fear, you lost your power.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want everybody to be safe and get the protesting because we still want y'all to work. We still want y'all to earn your money. We don't want everybody being in jail. We don't want no more people hurt. Just protest and be safe.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you for that, because we all align with you, sister.
Protest is a good thing because it opens up the doors for you to see who's with you and who's afraid to step forward. Oftentimes what happens, people go out on the front line, and those that say they're going to back you, they will walk away and leave you standing by yourself. But I am happy to see young people organized, and that which shows their ability that they can do something positive instead of destructive, because the system looks at them as a destructive human being. But we saw a lot of young black people out there that acted with command. They were in control, and they demonstrated their power to want some change. So now all we have to do is continue to support the cause in order to make those changes happen. And I'm all willing to do what we need to do in order to make that happen, because it's been far too long that we sit quiet as black folks. And every time something happens, I forgive him. I'll keep praying for him. Sometimes you got to let people pray for their damn self, especially grown folks. Grown folks is accountable for their own behavior and their own actions. And so, therefore, they need to pick up the Bible and read it, pray for themselves. I mean, I don't mind somebody praying with me every now and then, but I'm responsible for my own travels and getting to heaven. So people got, you know, the one guy from Chicago said they need to read and there's a spiritual warfare. I believe that, too, because there's a spirit that is taking over and people want to change. But somewhere down the line, they're unable to do that. So I believe there's a spiritual change. I believe they're putting stuff in the water. I believe there's a lot of stuff in the food. I believe a lot of things. Because even in our worst days, it wasn't this bad. Our ancestors fought a long, hard time to get over that hump. And
for all of this to just set us up to go backwards? It's got to be something. We already know they're poisoning the water. That we know. We already know they're spraying the foods with pesticide. We know that. So as a people, if we don't trust them and we can't trust each other, who in the hell do we trust? So do we sometimes put pressure on our own necks that stop us from reaching our full potential? We got to look at that too and go back to who we are, where we came from, how we got here. How do we make sense of out of this senseless world and bring it back to where it needs to be? How do we help our people help one another? How do we help each other grow? What do we
do? Also,
what do we invest in? There are a lot of things that we need to do for ourselves in order to gain the knowledge and the wisdom to make things happen for others.
Yes, on that token, though, if you're not trusting nobody, you have to trust yourself. First, you got to save your group. If you save, put your air on your mask first before you could even put it on your own self. Save yourself. Figure out what you value, what your belief is, and live in that. You know, I'm not protesting, but I'm not in the fight. You know what I mean? Because I'm already declared my line. I'm gonna do as I'm supposed to do, and I'm not gonna create no conflict. But people out here not doing that. And you're gonna have to stand for something or fall for everything.
And get rolled over.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do something. The people that's not protesting, send money to the people that's going to jail. People need bond money. The lawyers are coming out saying that they're gonna help people. Okay, well, where is the lawyer group that's going to get the money? Put that group together. Get 30 lawyers in each state to sign up and say, we're going to represent you if you go to jail for getting arrested for protesting. Where is that? Where is the money to go to help do that? That's the people like me waiting to do. That's what I'm waiting to do. Where my line is. These people out here walking around with COVID and ain't nobody wearing no mask. Okay, where's the people that's giving out free masks so y'all can be safe for the protest? That's the stuff that we need to do. That's how we help the protesters. That's how we benefit. Okay, I'm not going to protest, but I'm about to buy water. Where's the water drop off for? You know, where's the phone line to check in on everybody at? You know, we are protesting. Y'all can post where y'all protesting, but y'all not posting where y'all safe at. This is our safe place that we're going to be at. We need somebody taking the camera, all the camera people. Why y'all not documenting this stuff?
I got to feel you on that.
We need all that stuff. If you protesting, y'all need to have a cameraman on a high building doing the whole thing. Watch so everybody can see everything. We are not in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
We don't need a one shot of 8 people in the line. We need a whole new caravan booth, 360 of the area. You want to be a producer? Where's the music line? You want to be a rapper? Where's the rap, the theme music? Where's all this stuff that we are creative and stand for and hashtag it? Okay, where is that at? This is your time. Let's put it together. Let's make it make sense. Let it make sense for us.
It's a movement.
Everybody's going to profit off of this situation. Everybody's going to profit.
Yes, ma'am.
So I just want everybody just to make it make sense. We're not going to go out here just out here like that. We need to have it make sense. Not be angry, be smart.
Exactly. And so I guess I'm glad you said that, because where I would like to shift the discussion to at this point is making it make sense. You know, we're going to make it make sense. So what are some concrete ideas? You just listed several. Providing support to the protesters,
having some camera folks out there in different positions and high spaces, having your music people from the city, having your dancers from the city, having your social media posters from the city. What I didn't hear yet was getting the local politicians, your aldermen involved. What does that look like? The politicians are not for us.
So we relied on one person to represent a million. It can't work no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we said. Y'all, 32 people, 180 people is not doing your job. And that's what we ought to send them. We ought to send our senators and our congressmen. We all should just write a letter and tell them that you are fired.
Yes. Hello. You talking about like fired.
You know,
because
that's what they
just said. We put you in there to do.
Right. You are fired. And everybody should just be on just hashtag you're fired.
You flood the inbox. Glad to take the message.
You know, that's what needs to happen, because they need to feel what we feel. Because you're in your little nice office, and y'all sitting at y'all little nice dinners, and you not voting, you not doing your job. Okay, you're fired. We all decided that you're fired. And we ought to have a You're Fired Monday.
Come on, Kelly. Hashtag Don't Fire Monday. First one on the list, number 45. Get out of here.
Right. Get out. And let them like, you can't do that to us. Oh, yes, we can. Even if we can't fire you for real, you getting 100 million messages saying that you fire and let you feel like you're doing an effed up job. Okay?
Show us such your growth. Bye-bye. Bye.
Now let them start getting some You're Fired letters and see how they react on Congress and see how this protest affects. That's where the people that got these high paying jobs don't want to be laying in the streets. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
Get some I'm fired messages out here. Drop them off at the Capitol. Make the postman do their work. All the grandmothers and grandfathers who can't walk, get that postman something to carry next week. That's what we ought to do.
And reach out to Miss Chambers, because she'll write the letter and send it for you.
Right. That's why they need to see it from the state. They need to see it in a stamp from the state. Every state. See who can get the many mails in. You know, if people want to be in competition, stuff like that will make it work. Because these congressmen, they stand up in their rooms like this. Oh, this is just a couple of black people having a little misunderstanding. No, you're not doing your job.
We're aligned when we say you're not doing your job. We are aligned.
Yes.
What else we can do? What else we can do? Because I like these ideas, and the reason I'm really encouraging this is because tomorrow we're having a gathering over here at our church, Community 100. We have another platform that's going to be available on the webinar, available up on the Facebook Live platform. And so you'll be able to go there and see some of the things that we're doing out here in the community, outreach, getting folks engaged. And so tomorrow is the launch event, and we will be out in the community handing out hot dogs, brides, water to folks, giving them some information on the alkaline water, giving them information on the webinar that we're going to be doing for the strategic planning. And we're also trying to come up with that community forum position so that folks can really have some strategies given to them and some guidance, because that's what's going on. It's a lack of leadership, a lack of good guidance out in the community for some of these folks. And we know this. And so we know it takes a village. And now we got to go to the village and get those babies and let them know, we know you in pain. Trust me, we've been in pain too. We've been there before. And so we know what that rage will get you. And so let's think of another way to work together. And so that's why I'm really wanting to hear from you guys. What do you think about the police having to have insurance? Because insurance would make them think that's going to hit their pocket. And you know how these people operate. They care about their money and their reputations.
And so that's what we got to go with the strategy. How do we affect your reputation and your dollar?
I think that the insurance part is a good plan, but who can monitor that? That's like giving us a bill and then the end of it is not enough guts in it to me for them to have insurance. That's fine, but I think that what they should do is make the insurance companies give us a policy that we could pay for against police brutality. Give us an underwrite in our policy. So if my son do get murdered by the police, I can cash out on that. How about that? Because we're unsafe and unprotected. We paying for cars and don't get in a car accident. Why don't you underwrite us something for being brutalized in the street? Why don't the insurance company get something like that for us? Because we can monitor that. You know what I mean?
I feel you on that, but I just think that if your son don't get killed or daughter don't get killed by the police, you just creating money in the fund. Now putting it on them, right? Putting it on them and creating a group that's going to monitor that. So we have to have a task force, because with that task force comes the idea that was kind of enlisted by Ms. Bennett earlier about, okay, a whole process has to go with that. Because when police do something, they got 30, you know, they got time. They got 8, 12 hours to get sober, you know, wash their face, come in there looking regular and not belligerent how they may have been looking at that time. So with that comes a whole procedure and saying, okay, yes, you got to have insurance. This is the policy in which the procedures in which we're going to take if this officer does something wrong. First of all, they need to be arrested right away. They need to be given a breathalyzer, and they need to be giving us a statement, just like what happens to any citizen if we were to get pulled over.
It's hard to police the police. But you know what? What we ought to do is, like you said, take it to State Farm. Take it to our insurance company. Y'all need to enforce this. Y'all need to get something, a document that we can say the police is going to pay for this. Got to take it to the union.
They have firearms and they can shoot you. The police have so much equipment. You might as well call the police MacGyver. Okay. They got so much equipment, but they don't know how to talk to people. All right. So with that, insurance also needs to be some professional development. And bless people, please stop saying cultural competency. Let's stop using that word, because that means you're competent. You're not competent on me. You're not competent on every Black person that you meet. Get the hell out of here with that cultural competency. Let's become cultural responsible. I heard that from one of my mentors over at the school. You know, we had these great discussions about empowering one another. And so cultural responsibility, cultural reverence, let's be different. And we have to change the words in which we're using. And so with that being said, I'm definitely saying with the new policy comes some new procedures. And they definitely have to be held accountable, because like Nick Cannon said earlier, and he got it from Pac, I ain't no killer, but these policies will push me. They will push you away from your values. You know, this stuff is in our communities.
Right, because it's changing. The people that's getting hurt is more than just that one person. It's a chain. We suck, you know. It's a chain reaction.
So it's further traumatized.
Right. So we need to do something. But if we do something like that with the Congress, letting them know about being fired, and then we put the policy in there, we make the guidelines what we want to see in their insurance clauses and make it public and say what we want to have done. Because we all know about insurance. We know what it has to say. We should write it up and submit it.
Sister. That's what I'm talking about. This is why we're taking practice now, because a petition has to be, that's the first step. You know, we got to get it wrote out, but then we got to do that petition. We got to explain it, educate folks on this, right? and keep that moving through social media, because not only does it need to happen in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right? It needs to happen everywhere else. This needs to be mandated.
Right. And that's what we just, you see, that's the kind of stuff you write. That's what we need to do. And that's what needs to be done. We can still protest, but we're not going to protest with ourselves at risk.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. The police have been punching unarmed black folks since people in 2015 alone.
Right. And we just need to make stuff stand still for an hour every day. Everybody just stand still, wherever you at, on expressway, whatever, just stand still. You're not taking it no more. Just be still for a minute.
And you know what? We don't know how to do that.
We have to. We have to let this nation know that, and anybody can do that. You can do that at your house. You can do that in the street. You can do that anywhere.
You can do it, but we're too impulsive. Most of us have been traumatized. And so when you talk to, you know, working as a counselor and introducing our people to deep breathing exercises and mindfulness and all of these very natural things that you think you know how to do because you are taught that you breathe automatically, right? These things we don't even have the skills to do because we're so traumatized. You know, we don't even know what it means to deep breathe. And then when you teach these black folks how to deep breathe and get into this mindfulness and things of that nature, grounding themselves, mental health tremendously increases. We ain't getting enough oxygen to the brain. I got to be honest and say that. You know, we do need to stand still, but we got to teach them to stand still.
Oh. Well, thank you for the opportunity.
I appreciate you.
Anytime.
Thank you. Yes, you call anytime, ma'am. I like you.
All righty. Is there anyone else who has something to add, a comment? What's on your mind? What are your thoughts about the protest, about the death of George Floyd? About your knee on the neck. What's going on in you guys this morning? Because I can tell you something that I just heard on the news. And the one to know I'm always conscious about this because I have a 98-year-old cousin who served in the World War II and two Korean tours. A brother who died that was in the service and a nephew. So what is starting to happen, the way I see it, and some of it came out yesterday, with all of this rhetoric that's going on, it is starting to awaken PTSD.
Uh-huh.
Now, that part there will more likely be more damaging than anything. Uh-huh. Because here it is, they're putting a war right in the country that they were supposed to be defending. But here it is, you have a president in the United States that's bringing the forces to engage with the protesters. So some of these soldiers or veterans, that's awakening a different part of their brain that they had rested or allowed to come to an arrest or lay dormant. Now, with all of this stuff going on right here in their homeland, it is starting to affect some of them because that could put them in a crisis, also in a defensive mode to protect themselves because of the unknown. So that's some of the things that we need to look at as well. What is this bringing out of other people who have experienced these traumatic experiences, who have gone through the war and suffered brain damage and different things like this? How will this have an impact on them? That's, you know, men and women who have served in the armed forces.
How is this going to impact their lives? What is going to change? Will it recreate trauma, or will some of us be a target? You know, all of those.
Miss Williams and Miss Chambers, I'd like to ask you a question. Maybe you can address for yourselves and then the audience. In your discussion and things that you're talking about as relates to responding to this evilness of the system, is there any place in your understanding that there might be some room open to look at defending, physically defending your community? Is that an area that you all can embrace? Is that something worthy that you would pass on to young people and the generations coming up, that at some point you have to physically defend your community? Very clearly, we remember from the 60s there were a couple of organizations that decided to do that. That was the purpose of the organization of the Panthers, the Black uh-huh. Panthers. That was an organization called the Deacons of Defense, and they were organizing themselves against the Ku Klux Klan, physically, you know. And so how do you see that? Do you all think that that's something that's worthy of the discussion for us as African people?
I think, first of all, I think it's a great idea. However, I think that with that idea comes education, right? And so if you're going to be able to defend yourself, right, it would have to be an unprovoked attack. It would mean you be responding because it was imminent injury or death, right? That this person was objectively responsible for some degree of force, right? And you was in some reasonable fear of injury or death. And so to those reasons of defending yourself, I say, yes, absolutely. I'm going to defend my person if any of that was going to happen to me. So when I look at a community perspective, absolutely. Absolutely. That would be totally empowering. Ms. Williams, what do you think?
Well, the thing is, the young people these days, from my experience, and I've been in this field for 20-some years, there has been an abundance of fear with these kids because of their behavior. And even those, I think I'm answering this question that's been placed in group homes, and they've spent money introducing them to different programs, boxing and, you know, learning to cope and anger management and different things like that. You know, it's kind of hard for me to say right now, to be honest with you, because, you know, because people fear them. The system treats them sometimes like an adult. It's as though they've taken their rights as a kid and treating them putting them in the same category as the older people. You know, I mean, that's been my experience for the last few years. Anytime you get a 12-year-old that's been charged with sexual assault and all he did was touch a girl accidentally who happened to be white, you know, that system changed my mind about a whole lot of things being in this field for the past 20-some years. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but...
Well, I asked the question in relationship to... I think it was either your quote. I think it was where you were talking about Malcolm's statement about freedom.
About Malcolm X.
Freedom. And is you ready to fight for that?
And are you prepared to fight for freedom? Now, so we're talking mm-hmm. about our freedom being snatched. We see that being done every day on our streets. But yet, as all of you have said, we talk about freedom. So are we prepared to die for that? Are we prepared to stand up and say this is not going to happen ever again at any cost? I think, and I guess my question is there room in terms of what you're saying, in terms of your agenda, is there room for work to do something like that?
I believe with the right approach and the right education, you can teach these kids to fight a battle in a more decent and less harmful way.
you know, because when they act out on anger, that's something totally different. You know, like Malcolm X said, you shouldn't have to fight for your freedom. It should be something that you already.
Go ahead.
You know, but how you keep your freedom is the question. You know, do your behavior dictate the choices that you make that put you in a position to get your freedom taken?
And see, that's why I brought up the definition. That's why I brought up the definition of what self-defense was and why you would even need to be able to protect yourself. And the reason I brought up the definition is because we have to teach the kids the laws. First of all, they have to understand the law. And before you can organize and create a group of defense, we have to educate folks on the law. Did you know that if the police just walked up to you and asked you for your name, you don't have to tell him? Something simple as that. My God, how many times do people just give that information willingly to the police? You don't have to.
But that's where the challenges come in at when you refuse to give your name or any information and since they don't know the law, that's when they get roughed up and then possibly thrown in back of a paddy wagon and have their face snatched to the concrete. See, and then they were just talking about it the other day about why did they take the Constitution out of the schools. For me, they took it out because they didn't want you to know nothing. They want to continue to keep you ill-informed about your rights as a human being. But again, as you look at the Constitution, in the Constitution, they say you're only one-fifth of a human being. So if they keep looking at that and you keep trying to get your position in life, that creates a problem for them because their thing is to continue to oppress you. If we keep you dumb and ignorant, hey, we can continue to use these techniques on you. And somehow we'll get in a position to get off. So it comes with a lot of education. There has to be a lot of education to inform our kids about practicing safety.
And that starts at home. Absolutely. That's real. That's real. We're going to take one or two more calls before we end the show today. So 334-676, you got anything you'd like to add to the conversation?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Sister Williams?
Yes,
this
sir.
Is the Chambers, Sister hey, Williams.
Yeah, Sister Williams, Sister Chambers, thank you for taking my call. Good evening, everyone, and also to you, Dr. Rogers.
Good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm sorry I had to jump off. I had to tend to some business, and now I'm coming back on. But I just wanted to, listen in and support your efforts with this program. It's a lot that's going on. You know, as you were talking about self-defense, for some strange reason or another, I've been trying to look into a lot of what's been called verbal judo, and how do we first be able to understand this process of communication between someone other than ourselves, particularly someone in authority other than ourselves, and how do we able to start that communication process? You know, it's really tough. It's really, really tough. I'm sure that we, with lots of energy and effort and the kinds and types of protesting that we're doing today, will be able to fix this matter. But in the process, it's a tough uphill battle. So I just wanted to chime back in before you all close, just to let you know I am supporting. Some other things popped up, but thank you so very much for all of y'all's time, energy, and effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mesh.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for calling in. We're going to take a call from 414-759. Would you like to chime in on the discussion?
Good afternoon. I think it's a great discussion with everybody. It's one as well that's been needed for decades now. It's just unfortunate it took for Mr. Floyd to lose his life for us to start having conversations like this. you know, there are some good cops. There are also some bad cops, and Lord knows we need them in order to not have other issues, but we're addressing the ones that are doing wrong. But if we're going to tackle this thing as far as racism and equality, fairness, and what have you, we got to start at the top, not just with the police. We got to start with everybody that's involved, the lawmakers, the political figures, the judicial system, because it's all part of that systemic thing that they have in place for people of color. So we just can't tackle one part of this. We have to go at it all. And when we start to write those documents, it has to encompass everything so that this thing can be a thing of the past. It's been around for 400 plus years, and it's time for a change. So unless we address it all at one point and get it all handled at that moment, we're just reinventing the wheel. We're going back in circles. And that's all I have to say about it. But I'm definitely for the protesting, the peaceful protesting. I'm definitely one to stand up for. Dr. Rogers asked a great question. Are we willing to put our lives on the line for this? Well, our lives has been on the line for a while. So, you know, you have to get at that place and say, hey, you know, it's either going to become something better for me and the people that look like me in this country, or I'm going to die trying to help somebody that's going to be here when I'm gone.
Exactly. I appreciate your contribution, Ms. Laney. Thank you for calling in. I'm going to go over to... Oh, no, I'm not going to go. Does anyone else want to chime in before we close out? We got 3 minutes. Otherwise, I'm going to plug everything else that we got going on coming up for the week. So it's your time to say anything you didn't get to say. Otherwise, next week we'll be meeting on Tuesday, just for next week, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're going to be talking about white fragility and privilege, also discussing the upcoming changes that have occurred with Colin Kaepernick. I want to hear your thoughts on what you're feeling and thinking. Also, this Sunday, tomorrow, if you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you can come over to 3410 West Burleigh. We'll be having a community forum, cleanup and peace walk, and you can get some food and everything, too. Come meet some folks, some other folks that's passionate about making some changes in the community. You can also tune in at 6 o'clock. We have Brother Alfonso. He has a new show on the network. And so soon as this show's over, I'll be getting ready to chime in and go listen to that one. So I encourage you all to do the same. I appreciate each and every one of you calling in today. I respect each and every one of you and respect your opinions and views. And I like for you to continue to tune in, listen in, and share your thoughts. This community forum is here for that. We're here for healing. We're here for understanding. And we're here to unite and become a collective and move in one direction. I appreciate you. Ms. Williams, would you like to say anything?
Have a good evening. God bless you all. Thank you again for listening. Joining the weekend and a safe weekend.
I see.
Yes, everyone, please be safe.
New Kung Fu Kenny. Ain't nobody praying for me. Y'all know what happens on Earth stays on Earth. Here we go.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I'm willing to die for this shit. I done cried for this shit. Might take a life for this shit. Put the Bible down and go out for a knife for this shit. D.O.T. my enemy won't catch a vibe for this shit. Aye. I've been stumped out in front of my mama. My daddy commissary made it to commas. Bitch, all my grandma's dead. So ain't nobody praying for me. I'm on your head. Aye.
30 millions later, no the feds watching. Auntie on my telegram like, be cautious. I be hanging out at Tams, I be on Stockton. I don't do it for the gram, I do it for Compton. I'm willing to die for the shit, nigga. I take your fucking life for the shit, nigga. We ain't going back to broke, family selling dope. That's why you mini-ass rap niggas better know. If I gotta slap a pussy-ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on the bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out. I'm my allergic element. To a bitch, nigga, ayy. An imaginary rich nigga, ayy. Seven figures, how that slimmer than my bitch figure, ayy. Going digital and physical and all y'all, ayy. Bunch of criminals and money in my phone calls, ayy. We okay, we let the A1 fly. Relocate, jump on the same G5. Check it for me heavy, cause I go, yeah, I go, yeah. They never been ready, yeah, I know, yeah, I know, yeah. 100K spread across the floor, yeah. None of y'all fucking with the flow, yeah. Years in the making, they don't y'all mistake it. I got them by a landslide, we talk about races. You know this never be a tie, just look at they laces. You know careers take off, just gotta be patient. Mr. 1 through 5, that's the only logic. Fake my death, go to Cuba, that's the only option. Gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on the bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out my element. Damn if I do, if I don't, yeah. Goddamn it's all if you won't, yeah. Damn, 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 it's a goddamn shame. You ain't frontline, get out the goddamn way. Niggas thought they wouldn't go see me, huh? Niggas thought that K-Dot real life is the same life they see on TV, huh? Niggas wanna flex on me and be in LA for free, huh? Next time they hit the 10 freeway, we need receipt, huh? Cause most of y'all ain't real. Most of y'all go squeal. Most of y'all just envy, but jealousy get you killed. Most of y'all throw rocks and try to hide your hand. Just say his name and I promise that you'll see Candyman. Because it's all in your eyes. Most of y'all tell lies. Most of y'all don't fake. Most of y'all been advised. Last OP I tried to lift a black artist. But it's a difference between black artists and whack artists.
I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make him look sexy.
It's the one and only the world's greatest, the king.
I gotta go hard on the bitch, I'ma make him look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy.